Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, okay. Well, it's that time.
It's beer time.
Hold on. It's beer time, kids. Actually, I'm going to go get a shot of tequila, too.
Now, if we were the best
Welcome, everybody.
If we were the best podcast in the world, now would be the time to be like, Renee, do you like a cold Heineken from the fridge when you come home from work? Yes, Andrea. In fact, I do love a cold Heineken when I come back, but we won't do advertising for free.
No, we don't do advertising for free. And frankly, I think I'll be searching more for a tequila brand like Casa Azul or... Anyway, guys, welcome to the second to last day of our podcast, our daily podcast here from the Australian Open. It has been a joy bringing it to you. And we figured we'd bring it to you at night because, well, we finished at quite an early time tonight because, well, sadly, this match was a bit of a pooper scooper. but let's get into it a little bit. Andrea Petković, of course, is joining me once again on the podcast. Petko, we both called the match, you for World Feed, me for ESPN, and unfortunately it went the way we thought it was going to go. Yeah. We hope, you always hope that, you know, Chin Wen was going to turn up and, you know, play her best match, that maybe Arena would get a little bit nervous and we'd have a little bit of parody early on in the match, and then bang, she just comes out firing away. Chin Wen was clearly nervous. It was a little bit overwhelming for her.
Overwhelming is the right word.
What's your perception of this?
I think the overwhelming... overwhelming, is exactly the right word. I think she really looked overwhelmed by the pace more than actually by her emotions. As in the previous matches, she actually looked very poised. She looked composed on the inside. I'm sure it looked very differently. But on the outside, she looked like she had everything under control. But I think she was just overwhelmed by the pace that Arena brought from the get-go. She hadn't faced any top 50 players. And I think that caught up with her.
That was my Patron bottle.
Even though she did well in putting them away, and she did well in, you know, winning those matches that she was supposed to win, that's a different type of pressure. But she looked overwhelmed by the solidity, consistency, heaviness, and pace that Arina Sabalenka was putting on from the get-go. And in my opinion, and I'm so interested because we normally always talk about the match and then we sit down to record the podcast, and that's why I'm actually so excited to hear your thoughts on it. In my opinion, the biggest difference was the first shot of the game, which is serve and return. I thought Arena was serving, as she had all tournament long, serving very well. Chin Wen was serving, as she was doing all tournament long, well in moments, terrible in others, and specifically returning absolutely terribly. And what I mean by that, she didn't make returns. She either went for too much or she missed them. She missed so many returns, and especially that wide serve that Arena played over and over and over again. And I had called Chin Wen's third round match against Wang Yafan, who was a very tough opponent. She barely got through that, 10-8 in the third set.
In the tiebreak,
exactly. And Yafan was consistently serving that wide serve, and Chin Wen went for down the lines, missed five, made one, missed six, made one. She made a very important one at 7-all in the tiebreak. So everyone was like, oh, this was the right
that
play.
That was a great shot.
Exactly. But eventually it kind of lost her the match today. Not that it was close and that could have changed it, but at least make Arena play, at least get into the rally, at least give yourself the chance. And she kept going for that down the line. That was the one shot that I didn't understand.
And the funny thing was, in the very last game of the match, clearly when Arena was starting to shit herself, okay, because you're like, oh my God, I'm a set in 5-2, two breaks. Like, there's no chance I can lose this, right? And sometimes, believe it or not, you get more nervous in those moments than you do if it was 5-4 in the third. because you're so locked in at 5-4 in the third. You're like, cannot have a late letdown, cannot think about the final, cannot think about the last point, cannot think about the match being over. You're like, stay focused. Whereas when you're a set in 5-2, you're like,
Trophy.
There's the trophy. President over there. They're coming on the court. Oh, my God, focus. Oh, but I'm 5-2 up. Wait, I can't lose. Can I? I'm up 5-2. I mean, all that shit does go through your head. And if anyone says it doesn't, they're lying, okay? It's just how long does it stay in your head? Not long. You're like, okay, focus. But you do have those moments of thinking. Whereas if it's 5-4 in the third, when you think about how she played that match last year, there was no let up allowed last year.
Yes.
You had to stay so focused. And she had to stay so focused. And she managed to do that last year against Rybakina. And in this one, she gets a 40 love. So she's, of course, like, match is over, right? Mm. And then she starts getting a little tight. But guess what? Chen Wen made returns.
Yes.
She made her play.
Exactly, 100%.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I got a bit of a mistake here, mistake there.
And the returns were not great.
No.
She just made them.
Yeah.
She just put them in. And that's what I mean. Sometimes you just have to let the opponent play and see what happens. And if Irina is too good, which she was today, I think she would have won even if Chen Wen had made more returns. But at least you give them the chance to fail. At least you give them the chance to miss. And she didn't do that enough on a consistent basis.
And listen, her forehand extremity grip, just like Coco, just like Iga Swiatek, I think about Sam Stosur. Like, I think about the people that had really, yes, really... And a lot of players do have the extreme grip now. But when you serve them really well out wide, you can get them a lot because they... You know, by the they don't have the, you know, a sort of semi-Eastern, semi-Western or Eastern grip where they can sort of get under the ball on end range, right? When you're end range on a forehand and you don't have an extreme grip, you're actually still hitting the ball with the flat part of the racket. Whereas if you're end range with a very extreme grip, your racket face is facing the ground, right? So it's a very different feeling for someone like her. So she needs to figure out a way to cut that angle off a little bit and get it back cross court. Like, you have to think, we said in the commentary, chip one back. Just chip it back deep. Make her have to hit her forehand down the line to win the point because we know that Sabalenka's best forehand is cross court. So force her, if she wants to hit a forehand for a winner, to go down the line. So you have to, when you're out there, look, it's very obvious too that she, her mind was probably going a million miles an hour.
Yes.
Like, I'm getting killed in this final. Yeah. People paid a lot of money for these tickets. Oh, my God, I'm playing
all
the crap.
All of China is watching.
All of China. I mean, she had such unbelievable support there tonight. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was great to see. And I'm sure so many Chinese people were watching back home on the TV.
She won a point.
But that's
and
a lot of
nuts.
Pressure also. There was also a lot of pressure. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So, that, look, we're being hard because this is what we do.
Yeah.
We do expect certain things from certain people. And if you're in a Grand Slam final, we expect you to play up to that, but at the same time, we're very aware that it's her first Grand Slam final.
And she will be so much better.
And I saw Perriba, her coach, after the match, and he knows that there's so many parts of her game that can improve. There's no question about that. I think her end range shots, meaning the balls that she's on running to the absolute ends of the court, the side of the court, they need to improve. And I think one area that she could get better at also when she's playing a power player like that is you have to be able to change the pace sometimes, right? And so end range on her backhand, for example, her backhand's very good. She actually handled the ball to her backhand power.
Much better,
right? Because she's got the left hand she can use. And she stayed down on the backhand. Whereas the forehand, she was coming up because the extremity on her grip. She feels like when your racket face is down and the ball's on you really fast, you have to feel like you have to lift it. In the actual fact, you have to stay down and you have to accelerate. But I think that when she's on end range with the backhand, she needs to learn how to hit a slice. And Perriba said that she can actually hit a slice, but it's doing it under pressure. And the reason why hitting a slice is a good thing is it actually, you can slow the whole point down. Ash Barty was the greatest of that, clearly. And I would say to Sam Stosur and players that I work with a slice, is like, you have the ball on your strings as a slice backhand. Now you can pop it back really fast or you can float it back. You can go short. There's little things that she could do like that that I think will help her stay in the point because when she had time in the point tonight, she actually played very well.
Yes, yes.
But she needs to figure out how to
get
into that
point. But she didn't have time and this is also part
But to
because...
get time, sometimes you can hit the slice and it slows the point up immediately,
yeah,
right? And you can put your opponent in a difficult situation and then you can get back in the point. Tonight she was trying to slap backhands from like terrible positions and she was missing. And listen, we're giving her a hard time.
We're giving her a hard time, but I will circle back to it. I will circle back to one other thing, but we're giving her a hard time all the while knowing that Aryna Sabalenka continued where she had left off. She was the player of the tournament, men and women, in my opinion. I think the story on the women's side is how well Aryna Sabalenka played, how much ahead she was of the rest of the pack, how much she had improved in the offseason. That is one of the players that I've seen in the last 10 years, maybe Jannik Sinner too, that has improved the most over the course of 2 months, it feels like. Whereas at the US Open, I still saw her trying that one-dimensional game against Coco Gauff and not getting through. And she said to me, I interviewed her after the match and I asked her, you looked like much more of an all-court player here at the Australian Open. What did you change in the off-season? And she said, actually, that match against Coco really made me think. I knew everyone calls me a ball basher, but I don't care about this. But when I played Coco, I knew and I felt that I can't get through with how well she moves. So I told my team and we decided together that we need to work on approach shots. We need to work on the volleys, and we need to work on slices. So I have other things in my repertoire, basically.
And that is a sign of a great player.
A great player.
Every great player, Novak, Rafa, Roger, when you think about Serena. All the things that they improved on through the year. Serena improved her ability to change the pace on her serve, the ability to roll some balls into the corners, you know, and not into angles and not hit everything 100 miles an hour. And I'll never forget Justine Henin after she won like a Grand Slam, and like a month later I saw her practicing serving and volleying for an hour. I'm like, what is going on over there? Because she knew, okay, I'm here, I'm at this level, and everyone's going to try and beat me at that, what I'm doing right now. So how am I going to go an extra level? And she was like getting into the net, playing better at the net. Alcaraz has changed that by moving forward, hitting a drop shot. Now everyone is implementing a drop shot in the men's game. People are starting to come into the net now against these guys, and they know it. And so there's elements of every tennis player when you're great that they consistently get greater and stay great because they're constantly working on the next level of shot making. And we saw that beautifully displayed and spoken to you with Sabalenka after she lost that match, because she knew, and she was coming into that really, really well in this tournament. She misses some volleys.
Yes, and but she overall, will get even better. I mean, 100%. She just started 3 months ago coming to the net, but she said it basically.
And she won a couple of Grand Slams in doubles, so she knows how to play at the net. Another player that won Grand Slam doubles title before she played and won singles titles. And I do adamantly believe that players should play doubles. I think Jin Wen can play some doubles and it would help her a lot.
It would help her return game a lot.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to ask you one thing that jumped out at me during the return game and because of the return game, because I was like trying to figure out.
It must be so frustrating with you because you were such a solid returner.
Exactly. I was like, the one thing I could do, because I didn't have a great serve, I didn't have 3 points on my serve, I had to play every rally. So the one thing I had to do is make the fucking return. And when I had my racket on the ball, I would put it in.
Yes.
And even if it's the shittiest ball in the world, I would put it in and the other one. And how many matches did I win where they just choked and just the easiest sitters just put them away because they choked.
Look at Zverev last night. He missed some sitters.
Exactly.
Because he knows this dude's not going to make a mistake on the
return. That was very frustrating to me. But apart from that,
now you know how I feel when people come into the net and make a volley. I'm like, how can you not make that volley? And you're like, how can you not make that return?
Yes, I understand. Now I understand. Now I finally am on your level.
You finally understand me.
I finally. It took only 300
It just
years.
Had to. We had to compare what we were good at to each other. And we go, I get it.
Maybe yes. But another thing that stood out to me was she returns and she plays very far behind the baseline. She's actually one of the players on the WTA Tour in the lowest range of taking balls on the rise. She only takes 35% of the balls she hits on the rise. And the average of the WTA player is at 48%.
Wow.
Yes, so it's much higher. Okay, a lot of WTA players play different. Yeah. Chin Wen plays a lot of spin. It's different, so you can't really compare it. But just to give you a little bit of sense, Aryna Sabalenka takes 54% of balls on the rise. And sometimes on the rise doesn't mean you're on the line and taking everything half volley. Sometimes it just means when you see the short ball, you recognize it and you're up to it yeah. quickly. And those are the ones you take on the rise. And Aryna does that better than anybody else in the world right now. She doesn't always stand on the line, but when she has the short one, she's up to it quickly. And I wondered, and this now circling back to Qin Wen, who returns so far behind the line, who stands so far behind the line, paired with Aryna, who takes balls early and recognizes short balls, did Qin Wen maybe stand too far behind the line and give Aryna too much time to step in and take those balls on the rise and be dominant in almost every single rally, unless Qin Wen hit a really good first serve and then she was the one to be able to do a little bit more.
Yeah, it's all part of learning how to beat somebody, right? And we've seen it beautifully displayed over the last couple of months with Jannik Sinner, for example, who could not beat Daniil Medvedev and has beaten him the last three times that they've played, which is a tremendous difference when you basically can't beat somebody. So I think that we'll see. I think that the way that Sabalenka plays is going to be a problem for Qin Wen forever.
Ever, yeah.
Until she gets a little bit more aggressive with the forehand, changes the stance maybe, and makes the return. But, you know, the grip is one thing on the forehand. She was really struggling with that tonight. The backhand was fine. The backhand was backhand. Yeah. Backhand to backhand, she was actually hanging with her, which I was surprised at. But for me, it's the end range shots that she struggles with. Whereas Aryna, when she gets on the run end range, you're like, yeah. Look out, because this is going to be big. Whereas with Qin Wen on the full range, like end range, you're like, ah, is she going to slice the forehand? Is she going to slice the backhand? So I think she needs to get a bit stronger, which she will, movement-wise. I think she will get stronger and faster because she's not as fast as Coco, and Coco is so fast that she can get those balls back in and frustrate someone like Aryna. But it's going to be really interesting. I think Aryna's going to be very, 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 very confident going into Indian Wells, Doha, Dubai, and Miami.
And you know what? We talked about it briefly in the car.
Look out.
You asked me, like, how was she? And I said, yeah, she was super happy. And then I paused and I was like, she was the right amount of happy.
Yeah.
She was not euphoric. She was not like, this is the pinnacle of my life. I'm the best. It was like, okay, I won this. This was great. But I'm ready for more. Yes, that's how it felt to me.
Yeah.
And I asked her, and what I also liked, I asked her, like, I feel like defending a title is harder than anything in the world, especially at a Grand Slam, and you did it. Nobody has done it in 10 years since Evika Azarenka. Does it give you a different kind of confidence for the rest of the season? And I loved her answer because she said, I don't want to think about what other people will say now. I don't want to think about those expectations. I just want to work hard. I just want to fight for every single ball. And I felt like she had unlocked staying in the presence for her. Because if you saw her in earlier times, you could see her thinking what you said earlier about the trophy presentation.
Yeah.
What am I going to say in the speech? And what does Anton think, my coach, about me? And it just felt like she had figured out for herself over this fortnight, staying in the present is the way to go.
Absolutely.
And I have to say one thing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Rarely ever do you see it that a player plays a Grand Slam in almost the perfect manner. You always, almost always, have one match where you can see, oh, this was an off day, yeah, and yeah. they somehow found a way through. You see it with Novak when he at the US Open when he was down two sets to love against Jere. So many players. Every time Angelique Kerber, when she won here, was down a match point in the second round against Misaki Doi.
It happens a
you
lot.
You see it so many times. Caroline Wozniacki was down a match point when she won here.
I think there's only a few players that have won this tournament since, I don't know, 2000 or something, that have won it without losing a set. Mm. She was like, Lindsay Davenport did it.
I think Maria Sharapova.
Vika, when she won it that second year, I think she was so dominant. So she's joined some very elite company. And how she won this tournament and how she looks when she's on. And I tell you what, she can win any Grand Slam.
Absolutely.
I think the French will be a little bit more difficult for her.
Yes.
But, and I think Iga's, you know, going to have her hands on that trophy many, many more times. I think Chin Wen will be much better on clay. And so I think there's a lot of positivity for Arena coming out. I mean, she's absolutely the player to beat on hard court. And I think she's going to be tough to beat on grass.
Me too. I also think that, and Laura Robson said the same thing. As she said, like, if she has this mentality, I don't really see.
How many matches did she lose last year where she should not have lost?
Yes.
We've talked about it a million times.
We talked about it a million times. I can talk about this because I repeated it so many times. She wins Australian Open. Semi-finals French Open, up 5-2 with a match point against Muchova in the semi-finals to play Iga Świątek, who she has beaten in the Madrid final. Granted, much better conditions for Iga, but it is a chance. Semi-final of Wimbledon, up a set and a break on Ons Jabeur to play Vondrousova in the final.
She wins.
Big chance to win. Final of the US Open, she's up a set and a break on Coco Gauff. And then kind of faltered under Coco making some. We saw it. We talked about it.
Yep.
And I really think that this defending her title could have unlocked something, a new level of confidence in her, that we won't see these type of losses that much anymore on the Grand Slam. So at least not when she has matters in her own hand.
As you like to say, absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Except for, and I do think, and you know what else is great? This is not only great for Aryna Sabalenka. This title run is fucking fantastic news for Iga Świątek back home and for Elena Rybakina, who will be fucking annoyed right now, who will be sitting
home
eating themselves up for not having given themselves the chance to be in the final. And you know how Iga is tomorrow in the morning, how she will wake up to go to practice.
Yeah.
She will be burning out there. She will have 105% intensity, which only means when we come the next tournaments around in Dubai, Doha, wherever they are, Iga will be burning with passion to close the gap again that Arena has created here. And that's great news for the tour because we will see amazing matches and amazing rivalries.
All I could think about was more so, even more so than Iga was Rybakina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, she absolutely smoked Arena Sabalenka in the finals of Brisbane.
Mm.
I mean, it was 6-love, 3-love. She led 6-love, 3-love against now the two-time defending Australian Open champion. Mm. So you don't think that Rybakina is not at home going, fucking hell, like close that match out against Blinkova and I'm in the final again and I'm playing a girl that I just smoked in Brisbane.
And so here we have to talk about one thing that we didn't because we just started it during the Australian Open. Scheduling on part of Rybakina's team, why in the world did she go to Adelaide? She wins Brisbane in the most dominant manner.
And goes and
smokes,
plays Adelaide.
Chops Arina Sabalenka, who's been unmatched at the Australian Open. Chops her like a linden tree. And then goes to play in Adelaide to like half tank in the quarters so she doesn't get tired. Why?
What the fuck?
Why?
Why? Why?
This is really a question. I don't have an answer.
Honestly,
do you have an answer?
You are so true. And also, you heard also appearance fee. Jesus, you've got enough money. The objective is win the Australian Open. Like, honestly, what is your... get a little bit controversial, but you know how I feel about our coach sometimes. But what is he thinking? Because any coach would be like, no, we don't need to go to Adelaide. I don't care about your, what is it, $20,000 that she's going to play Adelaide? Maybe? Take a guess.
I don't know.
Let's just say it's 20,000, 50,000. Yes. You are giving up $2.5 million. P.S. And by the way, all your sponsorship money that you're going to make, $5 million winning the Australian Open. You just smoked the arguably the favourite to win the Australian Open again, and you go and play Adelaide, and you know that she was a little bit injured in that match with her Achilles.
Yeah.
So why are you playing extra tennis when you don't need to, when you've just started the year playing great? I mean, what? You are so right, Petco.
I thought about it because I was thinking about, we had a lot of time to fill until Arena came in the studio. So we were just talking and jabbering and jabbering. And I was thinking about how great this is for the rivalry. And I was thinking of Iga Świątek, of Elena Rybakina.
And Coco.
And Coco Gauff, exactly. And Anja Berg, she needs to get healthy. She needs to find her joy again. But just all of the women in the top 10 who were so close to Aryna Sabalenka and now seem kind of far away, that if that doesn't give you motivation, when Angie Kerber, who is my very close friend, did well, nothing in the world gave me more motivation on the training court, on the practice court, than Angie Kerber doing well. Because I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Look how happy she is winning. Look how confident it makes her.
I want the same.
And it made me work harder. And there is a thing of a healthy competition. And it made me think of, why the hell did Rybakina go to Adelaide to lose to Alexandrova?
Who's a good player.
Who's a very good player.
But what the fuck?
But that's like, you know, the thing is, about losing to Alexandrova. You can lose to Alexandrova. But going with a loss to Australian Open, most of the players do. But you had the chance to go without a loss to the Australian Open, and you didn't do it because you decided to go to Adelaide to exhaust yourself more.
And if she had that little niggle of an Achilles problem or a foot problem or whatever it was that you overheard, the coach or the fitness trainer or whoever the fuck's talking, say, you fucked yourself there. Why would you ever in a million years know that you've just, like Karolina Pliskova, for example, when I was coaching her and she won Brisbane. There is no way in God's green earth I would be like, oh, you know what? Let's play another couple
Did
of matches
she
before.
Want to go play somewhere else?
No. The whole point was win Brisbane, go to Melbourne. And that was the year she lost to Naomi in an incredible third set barn burner of a three-set.
The year Naomi won.
The year Naomi won the Australian Open against Kvitova in the final. And for me, I thought Kaya had the opportunity to win the Australian Open that year because she won Brisbane. She came into the Australian Open playing great tennis. Mm. She lost an incredibly close match to Naomi, and Naomi beat Kvitova. And Kaya had just beaten Kvitova in the WTA finals for the first time. So I felt like that was her best chance. But she went in with all the confidence. And Rybakina should have come, have a couple of days off after Brisbane, get training, work on a few things, maybe take care of her body going into the Australian Open. And instead, she kind of limped in to the Australian Open and then lost to somebody like Blinkova, who is a very, look, the tennis was good at times, but a match that she should never lose. And then Blinkova lost the next match. And that fucked her over. So, listen, you make a great point. The whole point is, scheduling is very important.
Scheduling is part of playing tennis.
It's like you with Taylor Fritz last year going into the US Open.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, you said the same thing.
And it's like, I understand that players want to have a lot of matches to feel like, you know, I understand that.
Elena Rybakina doesn't need a lot of matches.
She doesn't need it, but I understand the feeling of wanting to have so many matches that when you go into a Grand Slam tournament that is very stressful, that you have had so many matches that all your routines are so set into place that you don't feel that you're nervous. That's what players want. That's why they play so much. But the same with Taylor Fritz. He started in Atlanta, played Washington, played Toronto, played Cincinnati, played God knows who, Winston-Salem probably. He didn't, but, you know, I think he was on the list and then pulled out, thank God, to then play at the US Open and run out of steam against Novak Djokovic in the quarters or semis? In the quarters, I think.
Quarters.
And he played great there, I have to say.
He did play great.
But my argument here is, if you want to win Grand Slams, you schedule your whole year around winning Grand Slam tournaments.
Yeah.
That's basically the thing.
That's what it should be and what it always is.
And Rybakina, with her skill set and her talent and her mind, because she has a strong mind.
You've actually annoyed me thinking about that schedule for her.
She should have...
Frankly.
She should. And what she should plan every single. Maybe French. Let's think about that. But she should plan every Grand Slam tournament in a way that she can win it.
Yeah. Can I just say, when you think about that schedule, Sabalenka lost in the finals of Brisbane, but she played fantastic to get to the final. Mm-hmm. She was so good. And then she got smoked in the final. And she laughed it off. She was like, well, thanks.
Better luck next time.
Hey, Arena, too good today. I'm glad you gave me a couple of games. And she laughed about it. And she said, team, you're all fired.
Yeah.
As a joke. But, you know, I think she came into the Australian Open with, look, I'm playing good. I played one bad match.
Yes.
I got beaten by a better player on the day because Arena was actually spectacular in that final. I lost to a better player on the day. I know I can do better. It wasn't my best tennis, but I'm going into the Australian Open feeling good about my tennis. I'm healthy. P.S. And by the way, the most important thing at that point, I'm healthy and I know I can win this tournament. And that's what she did. And said, Rybakina wins Brisbane, goes and plays Adelaide, gets a little bit more injured, and then comes in the Australian Open, loses a match that she probably shouldn't, well, not probably, absolutely should never have lost. And there you go. And the history has been made. So anyway, we're going to finish this podcast being upset for Rybakina's schedule.
Let's end it on a positive note. Just like one more time. I think I said it before and I want to repeat it again because this is really important to me. I think this was a great final in terms of who ended up in the final. Yeah. Yes, we could have had a better
match. It was a terrible match.
We could have had a better match, but I think the final was great. If somebody had given anybody in the tennis world a piece of paper saying Chin Wen and Arena in the final.
I just want to say Chin Wen was my player outside of the top 10.
Right, but you would have signed it because it's the defending champion who's playing great, who's the number two player in the world.
Against a future.
A young talent who everyone expects to win major tournaments in the future, who is at the moment in Australia, close to China. So many Chinese fans will watch that match.
Yeah,
so
amazing.
Many Chinese people came to the stadium and watched Chin Wen. The atmosphere was fantastic. And this final, I think everyone in the tennis world who supports women's tennis would have signed right away because there were so many talks about the top half of the woman falling apart, blah, blah, blah. And I think in the end, we got a really, really nice final. And when we look back on it 5 years from now, we will be like...
When Chin Wen will win a Grand Slam.
Yes, we will
that
be like,
was the moment.
That was a good Australian Open for the women's.
It was a
for
great... The women. Well, I mean, I'm going to disagree with you and... One point, because this is what we like to do. I am sad that we didn't get a better final because we've had amazing finals over the last few years and we haven't had a bad one for a while here at the Australian Open. We've had some incredible tennis overall. I mean, that tiebreak, still speaking of Rybakina, will go down as one of the most memorable moments that I've ever experienced as a former player, as a commentator. I'm so lucky and blessed that I got to call that match.
Yes.
And as did you.
Yes, it was crazy.
It will honestly go down as one of the most memorable, like, half an hours of my life watching that.
35 minutes. Yeah.
And so that was worth it in general. I thought the
Coco Gauff Arena Sabalenka match was great.
Very,
quality.
Very good quality. And, you know, unfortunately we didn't have a great final. But Chin Wen will win a Grand Slam. There's no doubt in my mind. I think she has the ability to do it. But overall, look, women's tennis, it's got some rivalries now.
Yeah.
As you said, Iga, Rybakina, Coco, they're going to be burning inside to make sure that...
And that's great.
That's great.
Why is Arina Sabalenka today the champion of the Australian Open in one of the most
she
dominant...
Was burning.
Because she was pissed off that she lost 100%.
Yes. And
That's why we saw this type of performance over the course of a fortnight, over the course of 7 matches, because she was sitting in her hotel room for 3 days
fucking
eating pizza and being pissed at herself. And the same thing is happening right now to those who will win the Grand Slam tournaments in the future.
Yeah, so women's tennis, don't worry. Everyone's going to be back for the French Open. It's going to be very different, but we've got a lot of tennis to go before that happens, and I can't wait for it. And, of course, tomorrow is Sinner and, of course, Mr. Medvedev. How is he going to react? I saw him today. I said, how are you feeling? He goes, actually, not bad. And I was like, how's that possible? But anyway, the dude is going to be ready to go. Jannik Sinner has his opportunity to win his first Grand Slam.
And
this is amazing.
I went to watch his practice.
How did
because
he look
I'm a
in his practice?
He looked very cute, but that's not a part of the
story.
Did
you tell him that you've named your internet Yannick's internet?
I haven't told him yet.
Okay, I'll tell him.
But I...
Give me your pick.
So I didn't see, I wanted to see Daniil as well, but he was practicing at another time and I was working, so I couldn't. But I saw Jannik was practicing on Margaret Court Arena with a junior, a Swedish junior who had lost in the semifinals yesterday of the Australian Open Junior competition. And that
isn't
was
it great?
And
I was, isn't it great that these guys play with these juniors?
Yes.
There's this amazing video, obviously, of Roger Federer hitting with Alcaraz at Wimbledon, warming him up for his final, because Alcaraz was playing the final or in the juniors. Mm. And Juan Carlos Ferrer said, oh, I hit with my kid. He's good. Roger, he's good. And he's like, okay, you know, I'll hit with him. And then, of course, cut to, like, what, 4 or 5 years later, he wins Wimbledon. Mm. So it's so nice to me. People are like, well, who's going to hit with the best players in the world? Well, the best juniors in the world, because they're all pretty good. They're just not quite as good,
yes.
Right?
Well, the Swedish guy, he was very good, and he was so trying so hard. Oh, but it was at times.
That makes
it was
me so. It's so cute.
Yeah, but it was at times. It was a bit fast for him because Jannik was hitting the shit out of the ball. But what I wanted to say, I was a little bit annoyed with Jannik Sinner, and the reason why I was annoyed. You know me, I was not a very relaxed person when I was playing.
And he was relaxed as well.
And if I had played a final of a Grand Slam tournament, when I played finals of other tournaments, they were not Grand Slams, I was not relaxed in my last
practice. So he was relaxed in the practice.
He was so relaxed. They were sitting on the bench. They were laughing. The team was joking. Darren was giving him some tips. Simone Vagnozzi gave him some tips.
Yeah, but
there was great atmosphere. He was so chilled. And I was like, you know what, Jannik Sinner? Fuck you.
Because you were like, how dare you do this?
How dare you enjoy tennis? You should be miserable like I was.
But it's also a really great thing that you learn that sometimes there's no point in expending unnecessary energy the day before a match. And clearly he's been playing great. He doesn't need to overthink it. Medvedev would have just tried to get his body moving today. So I'm really looking forward to the final. I have to say, as much as I want Jannik to win because I love him so much and Darren is one of my very good friends, I love Daniil so much. And I think he's played like 48 hours of tennis in this tournament and the fact that he's in the final is incredible. So I just want to see a great match. And we'll see what happens tomorrow
we'll
night.
We'll see what happens tomorrow. So, Jannik Sinner against Daniil Medvedev.
Anyway. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to us today and tonight. We are finishing this tonight after the women's final. Congratulations to Aryna Sabalenka, her second win at a Grand Slam. And absolutely look out.
Smoking fashion.
Look out, women, because Aryna is back and she is hitting the serve in the court. So you've got some problems. Anyway, for now, we're going to say good night and
cheers.